Welcome to the Home Building Hero, where we help you become the hero of your new home by providing you all the information that you need. No matter if you're an industry pro, you're building, or you're buying, we got you covered here at the Home Building Hero. We're coming to you live today from the LP Studios here in Wisconsin. I'm your host, David Bellman, president of Bellman Homes. Thank you for tuning in today. Today, we're talking about the 10 unique challenges of building lake homes. The market's really changed over the last year or so, and because of the higher interest rates and higher cost of housing, we are seeing less volume in the building industry, especially for permits. We've noticed that ourselves with our company. However, one thing that's also changed is that we seem to be doing a lot more lake homes than we ever have in the past. Typically, we'd build maybe one every couple years, maybe every 3 or 4 years. This year, we now have three of them going all at the same time, which is pretty crazy. It's not as normal. So I started to think about this and all the different things that we go through when you build a lake home. So if you are considering building on a lake, maybe you own a lot on a lake or you own an older home on a lake and you're thinking about updating, building, starting from scratch and doing a project such as this, this is definitely the podcast for you. Or if you're just interested in learning more about building, you're going to learn a lot here about lake homes. So with that, let's get into it. Let's get into the 10 unique challenges of building on a lake home. One of the first challenges that typically happens on lake homes is there's a teardown involved. There aren't very many just brand new clean lots on lakes. So typically you have to work with an older structure. This could be an old home that was built in the early 1900s, maybe an old stone home. They're typically kind of small, very energy inefficient, but you got to tear them down. And so that's the first challenge, because in most normal builds, you don't have to deal with that. So you not only have the demolition permit that you've got to get, and then of course you've got to tear it down and haul out all of the materials and then restore the site, make it back to a buildable lot, but you also typically have other things like disconnects to do. So you might have to disconnect the power. You may have to unhook and abandon a well and a septic system. You might have to crush the septic tank or dig it out and fill it back in. Those are all expenses that you're going to occur on a build on a lake. And this also takes time. This doesn't just, hey, just go do this. This is all adding on to your project time and your project scope. Now, teardown itself might be, $15,000 to tear down the building, and you might have another couple $1,000s between the well and the septic to abandon those, but then you got to put the systems back in. The other thing with that situation is sometimes you can reuse the well, or sometimes you can reuse the septic system, but typically if it's been put in a long time ago, it's not going to meet the today's standards, and you're still going to have to hook it all up again and reconnect. So there's always going to be costs involved with it, maybe not the full cost, but there definitely is challenges involved with that. And it takes time. It takes a lot more time to work through those issues. The next unique challenge of lake homes, the second one, is the width or the building pad. As typically most lake lots are not humongous or tremendously wide. They could be big lots. Some of these lots are 500-600 feet long, but they might only be 70 feet wide or 100 feet wide. And so once you factor in your setbacks, a lot of times the building pad's kind of small. We just had somebody approach us the other day about building a 20-foot wide house. I've never built a house that narrow. 32 feet, I think, is the narrowest I've ever built a home. But 20 feet? Talk about a unique challenge and very odd floor plan. Definitely something of a challenge there. And it's not just trying to cram in everything you want in your floor plan in a narrow house like that, but it's also, how do you get this thing actually structurally built? How do you get your equipment around? And you start to have to look at the project and sometimes say, you know what, how am I going to piece this together? How am I going to stage this so that it all works? And you may have to do things out of sequence just to make this thing work. because you may only have a couple feet between the side of the home and the lot line and maybe even the neighbor's house. You might not have enough room to even get an excavator all the way around. So when you have like a narrow lot like that, you might have to put, let's say, the well in before you even dig the basement, because you got to get that well rig all the way to the back of the site. Maybe it's got to go past the house. Or maybe you got to put the septic in first and then, you know, put the well in the front. So you got to work around these things. And it's challenging. It's very challenging to kind of deal with those things. And you've got to look at it. You've got to have someone that has some experience. And then sometimes you have to work with your trades too, because that can also involve additional cost. If you have to literally hand backfill the side of the home because you can't get a piece of equipment in, or your guy's got to rent special mini excavators or different pieces of equipment just to get the work done, that's a lot of extra expense. And then, of course, the floor plan challenges we mentioned before. If you've got a narrow lot, of course, you want to take advantage of that lake view, but if your home is only, you know, 25, 30 feet wide, there's only so much glass you can put on the back of that home. And so you want to really make sure that your key spaces or your most important space is taking advantage of that beautiful view that you have on the lake. The third consideration for building on a lake home is the permitting. Permitting is much more challenging on a lake property. If you think you're going to get something permitted really quickly and get on and start building that home with the lake house, you're very much mistaken, because there's usually additional jurisdictions on lake properties. Everyone is very different, and every state is very different. So I'm going to warn you on that. Here in my state, here in Wisconsin, you know, we have the DNR. We also have the county. And one I'm doing, they actually have their own lake district, and they actually can circumvent the county, but they have more stringent restrictions than even the county has. So they're all very different processes, so there's that. But the permitting itself can be very challenging. And a lot of times, there's extra steps involved. One particular project that we were working on, every time we thought we were ready to go, there was something else that got thrown at us. And some of this was from the county versus the building inspector. But, you know, we had to get a zoning permit, which is not unusual. Typically, when you're within 1,000 feet of a waterway, you have to get a zoning permit here in my state. So that's an extra step, and that needs to be applied for before you get the building permit, which means more time. But we also have to do some other things. In this case, there was some tree removal involved. We had to figure out the trees, so we had to bring an arborist in, and the county had a preservation agreement, so they said, hey, you can take that tree down, but you've got to plant three smaller trees of the same kind to make up for it. I'm like, okay. So the homeowner says, yeah, that's fine, I'll do that. The county says, no, 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 Mr. Homeowner, we don't trust that you're going to do that. So we're going to record an easement on your property. And if those trees are not there, you're not ever going to be able to sell the property. And yeah, if you ever want to clear off the mortgage on your property, you're going to need to have that condition met. So lots of different things there with permits. A lot of times there's additional fees and bonds, which is money you have to put down and to perform something. Because they don't want anything bad to happen on the lake. And sometimes you have to get additional permits too, you know, for other things. Or they may only allow you the one chance to do whatever you want to the property. And then after that, you're done. So, for example, you may have to go to a special hearing and meet with a committee or a lake committee. And you have to give the entire scope of the project. So if you're thinking, maybe in 3 years I want to put a new boathouse in, or I want to put in an outbuilding, or I want to add on, put a screened-in porch, you're really best to put it all in your initial proposal, because in many cases they say, hey, we let you redo everything, but we're not going to let you come back again and ask for more stuff. So you really have to plan out your future in advance. All right, the fourth challenge on building lake homes: impervious surface. Now, for some of you here, you're like, what the heck is that? Well, A lot of lakes, they're concerned about runoff water, and they're concerned about water getting outside of the areas it's supposed to be. So they've created what's called an impervious surface requirement. And basically what this is they calculate how much surface you have that does not allow water to drain. And you're only allowed a certain percentage of that compared to the square footage of the lot. So what are some impervious surfaces? Well, like your driveway, your sidewalk, your house with the roof on it. So not only the roof, but the overhangs. If you have a deck, sometimes they do that. Of course, patios. So anything that's kind of covered and hard, outbuildings, of course, a fire pit, if it's got a solid stone patio, those are all considered impervious surface. So in many cases, there isn't enough room on the lot to fit everything. So you have to look at alternate products, or you have to make the home smaller. So sometimes this is just a method to control how big the houses get, but other times it's it can be worked around by using semi-permeable, semi-permeable roadways, driveways, stones. And so you can get some that allow you to have that impervious or pervious surface, I guess it would be. And you can use those, but they're quite a bit more expensive. So you can get special concrete that's porous that allows the water to drain through it. And then you can remove that space or a portion of that space. Same with paver stones. You can get special porous ones, or you can set them further apart and have a gravel in between them to allow the water to drain through. Same with patios. You can kind of work through that. The home, that's a whole different story. Typically not a lot of solutions there. So that's another factor that you have to deal with. All right, the fifth consideration when building on a lake lot is just the square footage requirements. A lot of these lakes will allow you a maximum amount of square footage. Some of them are calculated based on the size of the lot. Some of them are based on the neighboring properties. And some of them also have square footage requirements based on something a little bit more nebulous, like they'll have some formulas, like you can only be so many feet from the water, and you have to split the difference between the homes on either side of you. So you have to start like calculating all this stuff out, and you have to kind of design a custom building pad based around these parameters that they've put in place. And a lot of times what happens with this is they put these parameters in place. And of course, most lake lots are not uniform. They're not square. Lakes are not square. They're round. So you have these weird radiuses and angles and different things going on. And a lot of times, once they put these parameters in, you find out like your building pad is 20 by 36 or something. That's really tiny. Very hard to put any kind of normal home on there. And then you have to go to a hearing and you have to appeal and get rezoning or get a, exception. So these square footage requirements can be very challenging. And they can make it, make or break, basically, for your home. All right, the sixth challenge on a lake property is the remodel versus rebuild discussion. I'm not going to spend a ton of time on this, but in many cases, they will not allow you to rebuild a home on the lake. Some of them have stipulations that say the original structure has to be there. So a lot of people will circumvent this by, trying to do additions and things like that. And a lot of them have like percentage of what they'll allow you to change on a home. So they'll say, you can't tear the house down and start over, but you could remodel this structure. And so sometimes people play this game where they'll try and get as far as they can with it to get a new structure. So well, they'll leave the foundation in and they'll cantilever as far as they can to get it bigger, or they'll remodel a chunk of the home and then try and put an addition on again later. So there's all sorts of ways that people try and gamify this. And unfortunately, it's not a very efficient way to build a home, to be building it in multiple stages or taking something that's not designed to handle what you're doing. And then try and make it work. And sometimes you have to over-engineer and spend a lot more money on it. Obviously, you can tell I'm not a big proponent of that, but there are some reasons why people want to do that. Maybe there's some historical reason they want to preserve part of the home. Sometimes it's a completely different issue altogether, and I'm going to get to that one on one of my future points here. But in many cases, you might be better off to remodel the home versus rebuild a home. And you have to look at those requirements on the lake and have somebody help you walk through that process. All right. The seventh challenge for lake homes is erosion, drainage, and grading. I combined all three of these because they all kind of come together in a way. But, you know, again, typically lake lots aren't normally flat. Usually lakes are kind of built or made in a kettle. Especially around here in Wisconsin, Minnesota area and stuff like that, northern Michigan, you get a lot of glacier activity. So you have these big depressions and that's where the lake forms. So typically these lots tend to slope, you know, from front down to the back. And very seldom do you have flat lake lots because obviously if you get a lot of rain, that lot's going to be covered in water. So they typically are sloped up. And of course your roads and things are going to go on the higher part of the land. So that's just kind of how that works. But that creates some interesting drainage situations. One, because a lot of times they don't want you having too much water draining into the lake. So sometimes you have to worry about that. Or if you have too much water coming in one spot, it can completely erode away. And then you've got this like channel of water just kind of feeding into the lake every time you have a storm. So you got to really have a great drainage plan. And sometimes you got to pay extra to do that. Erosion is a big challenge as well, because when you're working on this, you want to make sure you don't get any brown water, dirty water, muddy water, pouring into the lake. It's going to instantly get you, ire from your neighbors. It's also going to potentially get the other protective bodies involved, and that could be fines and other, fees. It could shut your job down. And then, of course, the grade is a challenge, too, because these lots slope. Most of these homes are going to have exposed lower levels. But even worse, most of these are going to need significant retaining walls, big stone walls to break up the transition of grade. And especially if you're using your lot, your lake lot, to try and have access to the lake, you know, bringing boats in, bringing canoes, kayaks, how do you get them down that big hill and to the water? It's a big challenge. And so you've got to kind of figure that out. And it's interesting how that works. And it's also costly. You know, putting in a lot of retaining walls, whether they're stone or manufactured block, could be thousands of dollars. It could be $30,000, $50,000, $70,000, $100,000 to put some significant walls in, especially if you've got a really steep lot. So that's another huge consideration for you on your lake property. The next consideration for your lake home build is the environment, the wind, and the temperature. Now, you may think, well, I'm building a brand new house, it should be energy efficient. And of course it is. But you have to remember, lakes are quite different in that you have a lot of open space typically on part of your property. You're also building a home with a ton of glass on it, most likely. And, you know, those lakes have different energy and heat properties compared to the air. And it creates some unique challenges. So, like, if you get a lot of, if you're facing the right direction, you're getting a lot of blowing wind on the back of your home. In the winter, you've got that frozen or very cold lake, and the wind cutting through and blowing on your house, it can get really, really chilly. So you may want to look at what kind of insulation you're using on the home. Again, lakes aren't always the quietest properties to live on, especially people driving around in the summer with their boats and their jet skis and all those kind of things, yelling and screaming. You know, that can get annoying after a while. And, you know, soundproofing is important, but also energy proofing is vitally important. Same with sun. You know, you might get a lot of sun on a particular side of your home, especially with the lake. And a lot of times, the lake is calm, you're getting that sun bouncing off the water and reflecting up on your house. It can cause a lot of heat and cause a lot of light. And those are things you got to factor in when you are looking at your home. And then, of course, just temperature and things like that as well. Now, in the summer, the home typically is a tad cooler by the lake because you've got the water being cooler than the air. So sometimes that helps cool the area around it. So you may not need quite as much air conditioning. You might be able to have your windows open a little more because of that, but you definitely want to consider the wind, the temperature, and the uniqueness of the area around you. All right, two more considerations before we're done here. This one's very important. The view is very important on a lake property. And the setup of the home on the lot, the glass that you put on the home, you want to maximize as much view as possible, typically with a lake home. You also want to design your floor plan that your key areas are facing the lake. If it's your dining area and you want to sit and have a cup of coffee and look out on the lake in the morning, or if you'd rather sit in, you know, a family room area and sit on your chair and look out these gorgeous windows. Maybe you have a big deck or a balcony on a second level that you want to just walk out on and look at your lake. You want to figure out how to design it and make the lake, you know, the key focus point on your home and your floor plan. And also take advantage, you know, not only of those views, but you also want to make the back of the home almost look just as nice as the front of the home. In fact, a lot of times on lake properties, the back side of the home, the lake side, is your front of your home. And it sometimes has to look as good, if not better, than the front of the home. So the views of not only the view out of the home, but the view of the home is vitally important as well. And you definitely need to factor that in. And having a really experienced architect to help you through that is vitally important. All right. And the last unique challenge of building on lake homes is the neighbors. You're saying, what? But believe me, this is definitely a thing. We're going through several lake builds right now. The neighbors can be your biggest friend or your biggest enemy. And for whatever reason, typically people that live on the lake, they tend to be people that, there's a couple things. They tend to be there a lot more than normal people that are in a subdivision. They tend to be outdoorsy people, so a lot of times they're spending their time outdoors. Here in Wisconsin, you know, enjoying the lake season is very, very short. You know, maybe May through September, maybe a little bit in October if you fish and things like that, but that season's short. And so having construction nearby is, quite frankly, it's annoying for neighbors, and I get that, but they tend to have this sort of mentality or thought process that they own the lake, they own that area, and you can't do this and you can't do that. And of course, there tends to be some jealousy. You know, they might be in a home that's 50 years old and all of a sudden they see this big, fancy, brand new house going up and now their home kind of feels inadequate. That can happen. It's just disruptive, right? I mean, you've got big trucks coming. Typically, the roads around the lakes are not very good. They're very narrow. So, you know, you have issues coming in and out of the property. Again, you have the noise. So they're trying to sit out on their deck in their bathing suit. And you got these, you know, 20-something dudes, you know, swinging a hammer and making a lot of noise and playing their radio while they're building the home. All those things are kind of factors that you have to watch out for. And it can make not only it challenging for the homeowner, but it can be very challenging for the builder. I know when we started the One Lake project, literally the first day, within like an hour of some trucks going up and down the road, we started getting complaint calls in our office. Why? You're blocking my road. You're blocking. You can't do this. And it's like, well, typically one of the first questions we ask is, how do you think your home was built? I mean, someone else, one of your neighbors had to go through that as well. We've got a permit for this. We've got approval for it. We're doing the best we can to manage traveling in and out of the site, but it's going to be a disruption. We are sorry, but we do need to get in here and we need to get the work done. And the less you make, you know, the less you bother us and let us get our work done, the sooner we can get out of your hair. And it sounds kind of cold or crass a little bit, but it has to be done. And, you know, people have the right to improve their property, and they've spent the money to get the permit and have the inspector and deal with all these things. As long as you're following the protocols, the time frames, keeping the road clean, allowing people to still have access, as long as you're doing those things, you know, you just have to let it happen. And it's one of the biggest challenges on doing lake properties is just dealing with the neighbors and that dynamic and those people that are home all the day. A lot of times people on the lake are retired, so they're home and they're not working. Or, you know, again, they're just people that like to be outside a lot, and they tend to be nosy. You know, especially if you're the new person coming in, maybe you bought this old home, never moved into it, and then tore it down, and now you're changing everything, and they've been on that lake for 30 years. You, the new person, and they kind of want to let you know who's who and who's boss here. And it can be a real challenge. So definitely prepare for that as a builder, but prepare for it as a consumer as well. That, you know, you got to be careful because you're going to probably upset your neighbors, and then you got to live next to them for probably a long time. And that can be a real challenge. So there you have it. There's 10 unique challenges of living and building on a lake. Hopefully you found this helpful. And if you are looking at doing a lake home, especially in southeastern Wisconsin, and you need some additional help and get some guidance, please reach out to me. I would be glad to help you through the process and possibly build you your ultimate dream lake home. All right. Thank you guys so much. Once again, thank you for tuning in to the Home Building Hero, broadcasting live from the Bellman Home Studio. If you haven't already, please make sure to give us a 5-star rating on Apple Podcasts and make sure to hit that subscribe button so you don't miss any future content. Until next time, I'm David Bellman, signing off.